This time on episode 176 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. World's End. We're going to get an exclusive with Lauren on her time at Comicpalooza in Houston for 2017. We're going to run down the weekly Marvel news and your feedback.
I'm C.M. Magaña from the Strange and Unusual podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show is recorded on Wednesday, May 17th, 2017. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist on Netflix, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of Ghost Rider Coulson.
If you'd like to talk to us about Ghost Rider Coulson, you can check out our website, legendsofshield.com.
We have a voicemail line at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
We have a Facebook page at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can hit us up on Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can find our video companions at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
We have come to the end of Season 4 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's been a long 4 years, all the way back to when Nightwing started this podcast with his co-host on Legends Podcast. That would be Beef and the Operator. And shortly thereafter, Haley and I took over about episode 14, season 1. Lauren joined us a couple months later. Matter of fact, I think we just skipped Lauren's anniversary a few weeks ago. And now we're at the end of season 4. We thought this might be the season and series finale. It was not. It is just the season finale, and we're really excited about where this show is going. The show is titled World's End, and Haley, it was directed by
the one, the only, Billy Gerhardt, who has 23 directing credits going back to 2008. He did an episode of The S.H.I.E.L.D., which is different from this, 4 episodes of Torchwood, an episode of Justified, an episode of Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, 10 episodes of Sons of Anarchy, 1 of Jessica Jones. He did Marvel's Most Wanted. He also did 6 episodes of The Walking Dead, 1 of Timeless, 6 of Once Upon a Time proper, and 11 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., including Repairs, Nothing Personal, Ye Who Enter Here, Aftershocks, SOS Part 2, Absolution, The Ghost, The Good Samaritan, Boom, All the Madam's Men, and this episode, World's End. He also has a bunch of camera and electrical department credits, including Stargate Universe.
Now, I see one show that has something in common with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and that is Timeless. And Timeless was canceled, but then it was resurrected as a summer 2018 show. So it was renewed. I think Billy Gerhardt is the key that got both these shows renewed.
But I don't know. I mean, Marvel's Most Wanted.
It's not a TV episode. It's not a pilot anymore. It is known as a TV movie now.
Oh, okay. Does that mean we might see it someday?
That is my hope. Yeah. Even a bootleg copy would be great.
Yeah. I mean, the Wonder Woman pilot from Adrian Palicki is still like floating around the web, so.
And talking about Adrian Palicki, we know that she probably won't be coming back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because she has a part in The Orville, which is kind of a cross, as I was talking to the ladies before, the show of Galaxy Quest and Other Space, if you've seen that on, I believe it was Yahoo Video. So I don't think we're going to see Mockingbird, unfortunately. It would be great to have her, though. In the meantime, Lauren, we have a writer for this episode as well.
Yes, we do. The episode was written by Jeffrey Bell, who is a returning writer for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He has 11 writing credits since 1999, 5 of The X-Files, 13 of Angel, which includes some of my favorite episodes of Angel, 4 of Alias, 1 of Spartacus, Marvel's Most Wanted as the creator and writer of it, and 9 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., including 084, I Spy, Tahiti, Ragtag, What They Become, SOS Part 1, Mavis, The Good Samaritan, and this episode, World's End. He also produced Angel, Alias, V, Spartacus, War of the Damned, Marvel's Most Wanted, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Slingshot.
Jeffrey Bell is definitely intertwined into the Marvel productions, especially on the small screen. We had the opportunity to see him on a panel a few years ago, and it was interesting, to say the least. It was great and enlightening. And looking at the episodes that both Jeffrey and Billy have done, no wonder they did this episode, because they're involved in some amazing things. Talking about amazing things, this episode was titled World's End. We haven't gone over the title or the main theme of the episodes the last couple of times, but we're going to do it now. Haley, what does World's End mean?
We've got the obvious part where the framework is ending in this episode. You could kind of say part of Mac's world is ending because he's losing this daughter that he's had in his mind for 10 years. And it's also kind of, it looks like the end of S.H.I.E.L.D. again. So that world is ending.
I think it could have ended up being the series finale at World's End. So glad that it didn't, but it could have worked that way as well. I don't know if they knew. You know, I was talking to Steven about this over the past day, and we can't tell from how the last scene went whether they knew way far in advance, or maybe they shot a couple of things to keep some things in the hopper. And the decision, I don't think, was made until the last minute, personally, but we'll get there in a second. So there's a lot of other great things in this episode. You did have the Mac and the Hope. You had Ophelia coming to an end. You had Ghost Rider back. You had some shipping going on with Felinda. Lauren, where do you want to start?
Let's start with Ada / Ophelia. We got to see a lot more of her being angry. And again, seriously, girl, when most of us go through a breakup, we just get drunk, curl up under a blanket, cry, you know, listen to some albums on repeat, binge watch Gilmore Girls, whatever. I mean, there's better ways to do this than kill people. I'm just saying, my take on the whole thing.
Haley, you're big into killing people, aren't you?
Yeah, it's a good strategy. I don't know what Lauren's talking about. Who says you can't binge watch Gilmore Girls and slay your enemies? Why do you have to choose?
I've never actually seen Gilmore Girls.
See, then you have no experience.
I should probably watch it. I mean,
I think it's very much your kind of show. Jane Espenson was an executive producer for a while.
My sister was telling me I need to watch it. My friend's telling me I need to watch it. I'm almost done catching up with Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'll make it my next, you know, watch while I work show.
Start trying to do that and see how far you get. You might get sucked in with the dialogue. I don't know. Haley, what do you think? Dialogue?
I mean, yeah, if you're a dialogue person, Gilmore Girls is way up there.
I am definitely a dialogue person.
It kind of influences the way people talk. Like, you know how Buffy kind of influenced the way people talk? Gilmore Girls is that kind of show.
Nice. Okay, yes. This will be my next Watch While I Work show.
So, in any event, Haley, Ophelia, what did you take from her, or do you want to call her Ada in this episode?
I don't know. The fake Simmons only called her Ada to get a rise out of her. And, like, I understand she's evil and she's trying to steal your man, but that's still kind of a dick move.
Yeah. Okay, this is so not the same thing, because Ada is a formerly evil robot. But with, like, the trans community, there's the concept of dead naming, which is the name that, you know, your parents assigned you at birth of, and when the gender that you were assumed to be at birth. And it is not the identity that you have now chosen for yourself with your new name and everything. And it's considered like the ultimate dick move to dead name someone. And I kind of see it as, it's not the same thing here by a long shot, but that whole name dropping the name that she specifically does not want them to use. It's kind of, you know, the same sort of get a rise out of someone by doing a really mean thing. But she is an evil, well, was an evil robot. So.
She was. She was evil enough that not only did she want to rule the world, but she wanted to make sure S.H.I.E.L.D. paid the price.
And also, I would like to point out that I was right about where she got her powers from.
Yep.
I'm not surprised. Lauren's right. Yeah.
I'm not right about everything. I did think there would be at least one Ghost Rider pendant stare. Like, I was really hoping that Ghost Rider would actually, like, make her feel the force of her guilt before taking her back to hell or whatever. And I was kind of hoping that we would get, you know, Hope and non-evil Ward and maybe Trip coming through, because I know that BJ Britt has, you know, his own stuff going on, but I was like, maybe he could come through the whole, like, 3D printer that 3D printed Ada, a new human body.
I was kind of hoping that it might end kind of the way the last Matrix movie did, where, you know, the programs stay in the Matrix, so it would have been three men and a baby with, you know, Batty, Trip, and Ward raising Hope.
Oh, that would be so cute. Somebody write that fanfic now.
Nice pull. Three men and a baby. Batty, Trip, and Ward.
Oh my god, could you imagine just the badass that Hope would grow up to be? She's got, like, Trip as new Patriot. She's got good Ward. So, like, you know, two secret agents there. And Dr. Batty, who is, like, super smart. Hope would grow up so awesome. She'd, like, topple that fascist state.
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie, but I remember the song that those three dads sang.
I'm not sure if I've ever actually seen the movie.
I haven't seen it in years.
I might have seen it and just have no memory of it.
If you're a Tom Selleck fan, it's kind of a must-see, but other than that, the tropes have been done in a lot of other movies.
I am completely agnostic on Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck was it. He was Magnum P.I. I mean, he was the bomb. He had the Ferrari going. He was living in Hawaii. He had the mustache. He had the weird, I think it was Vietnam flashbacks. Oh, he was a guy's guy. Oh, yeah. All right. I see I'm alone on this podcast. So,
you do you, boo-boo.
Let's talk about something else here. You mentioned a lot of things there. Let's talk about Batty. And let's talk about Batty's great, really, end to his character that he was able to pull off in this episode. Lauren, what do you got?
You know, he's been redeeming himself during his time in the framework. We see that, you know, he had good intentions, but he went about them in completely the wrong way. And here we see him just completely regretful that he's here. His physical body is dead. He can't get out of this thing he created. He doesn't have Agnes by his side. So he goes after, you know, Mac and Yo-Yo get out, which, again, we're going to have to talk about them in a minute. But he goes to the beach as this world is disappearing around him. He pours himself a glass of, I presume, scotch, because, I mean, have a good glass of something. And he's talking to himself. He's monologuing because he monologues a lot. Like, every character he plays, it seems like he monologues a lot. Has some fantastic monologues in Spartacus, by the way. And he starts to end with that quote, you know, this is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but a whimper. And before he can get to the end, he's gone. That glass just falls onto the sand. And that's the end of him. And that's the end of the framework.
If you happen to be dropping into Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. for the first time, Dr. Batty is the nickname that we've given to Radcliffe, who's the character that we're talking about. And we call him Dr. Batty because, Haley?
Because he played Battyatis on Spartacus, all of the things that came after Spartacus.
Blood and Sand was the one he was primarily in, but he was also in Gods at the Arena.
Yes. Were there some flashbacks of him in the later seasons? I don't remember.
No, they just mentioned the House of Battyatis a lot, but
except in the end credits of the very last episode, everyone was in that. And that was the most heartbreaking credit sequence I've ever seen in my life.
So I cried myself dehydrated in that last episode of Spartacus. And then, of course, with the credits and the two it's Liam and then it's Andy, the two Spartacuses, and I'm just bawling and, oh my God.
Spartacai.
Yeah, the Spartacai.
So, given that history with the character, with the actor, was this a fitting end for Dr. Radcliffe?
Definitely. It was, I hesitate to say ironic because that's used so wrongly all the time, but it was very, it's fitting, it's poetic, it's, you know, he's just been this morally ambiguous guy the whole time that we've known this character, and his own hubris trapped him in this world of his making. And at the end, his actions deprived him of the one person that he was trying to do all of this stuff for. And his mind, which was, you could argue, the most valuable thing about him because he was a genius, is the only surviving thing about him. And it's the very last thing about him to go. He might, as far as we know, he's the last living being in this world. And gone.
You know, if the framework is any indication of the end of the universe and the Matrix, as we call it, by the way, because it's got striking resemblances to the Matrix. So if the Matrix is any indication of the end of the world, we at least know that there will be alcohol at the end of the world and that Haley will be satiated.
Yay!
He didn't even get to drink it, though. He lifted it up in a toast and then vanished.
That's what you get when you monologue.
It's true. You got me monologuing.
Lauren, you wanted to talk about Mac and Hope, and I think that's a tremendous, and Yo-Yo as well, and it's a tremendous plot throughout this episode, throughout this third pod of the season. So how did you like how it came to an end?
Again, it's beautiful and sad and fitting. We see Yo-Yo busting in just on pure faith that Mac is going to recognize her and want to break out. She knows, oh, he's got a daughter in there, but she assumes, oh, he's going to see me and he's going to realize all this is fake. And when she sees, when it finally hits in for her that this is all real for Mac, his mind is experiencing it, he is devoted to this little girl. She's like, okay, he's literally like the only person that I really truly care about this much. I'm just happy to sit here and wait the end of the world with him. So she sits down with him and Hope, and Hope's crying, and it's heartbreaking, and Hope vanishes.
Yeah, Haley, so between Yo-Yo's aching for Mac and Mac's aching for Hope, which pulled on your heartstrings more?
Mac's aching for Hope, because you knew that the stuff with Yo-Yo and Mac was going to work out. Like, in the end, they're either both going to get out or they're both going to stay there, and either way, they're together. But Mac and his daughter, he's going to lose her. And being the show that it is, I was pretty sure they were going to get out and Mac is going to lose this daughter that he always wanted and never got to have. And now he gets to have her and has to have her taken away again.
So something that I really liked, I was so worried that, yeah, they would have him blaming everyone at Shields and walking away. But have either of y'all seen Arrival or read The Story of Your Life by Doug Chang?
Nope.
It's one of the next movies up for me to watch, but I haven't seen it yet. I own the Blu-ray.
I can't talk about it then because spoilers. But again, this whole thing about when Mac is like, I have this memory of Hope. I was her father for 10 years, and I'm so glad that I have these memories now. So he took it much more as, you know, my time in there was in the end a positive thing because I get to have these memories of 10 years with her, when here I don't have these memories at all. So even if it ended, I have these memories. And I think that's the Mac that it's very true to the character, because he is this guy that he's always been, you know, very pragmatic, very caring. And I think that is, if he had been, you know, bitter and angry about it, I'm not sure it would have felt as true to the character.
And we didn't see his brother in the Matrix either. So do you think something happened with him in the Matrix, or was he there as well?
I think we just didn't have time. The focus was on him and Hope.
Okay, fair enough. Haley, there's a lot of other great things to talk about. What's the next thing that you want to grab hold of?
Felinda. The bottle of Haig.
And they're going to have to get yet another bottle to discuss.
So they can talk about what happened with the first bottle.
He finally tells her what happened with RoboMay.
Well, not everything, because they're going to need yet another bottle to discuss what happened.
No.
But, like, she gets in.
Like, he tells her, and you break in, like, mid-conversation or towards the end of the conversation, and that's when we get the whole, so what do you say that after all this is over, if we're still alive, we step back, we start fresh, and we maybe try this again.
And I think that would have been all fine, except for the deal that Coulson makes.
Oh my god, okay. So, Ghost Rider's back, which was awesome. There were some super awesome action scenes involving Ghost Rider and Ghost Rider and Quake. And seriously, tell me there is not, they have not been building up to something happening between Robbie and Daisy. Like, just the significant glances they've been giving each other. But anyway, even if it's just friends, like, they have a connection there. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get Ada coming in, you know, Coulson's like, okay, we're going to use the Darkhold as bait. And we get Ada coming in. And at first, you know, you see Coulson and then his head is on fire. And I was like, oh, that's cool. It's Robbie with the, you know, one of those face masks things, the super awesome high-tech face masks that we've seen. And no, it really is Coulson. Coulson traded off to have the Ghost Rider in him for a little bit, just for this one thing. But he made a deal. What deal did he make? This is not going to be good. You don't make deals with devils.
Haley?
That's how they get you. I wonder if he's going to weasel his way out of it by saying, hey, listen, I died already. You didn't collect at the time.
Like, oh my god, I don't know. They're worse than Tower Records. I'm not Tower Records. Who's the cassette company that they used to... Was it Tower?
Is it Columbia?
Columbia! I'm very sorry to Tower Records.
And every gym that existed in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So, the writer made a deal... For the Rider's sake, the Rider wants something here. What does the Rider want?
The Darkhold and Ada's evil thing that she's made from.
Well, the Rider gets the Darkhold and takes it back to hell or wherever they go off to.
Well, remember in Doctor Strange, they talk about, even earlier in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., taking energy from other dimensions. Like, she hijacked some of the energy from his dimension, and he's not happy about it.
Yeah. So it's like, basically, if, like, she robbed a bank and the Ghost Rider is, like, the hell cop that brings that back. And also, by the way, speaking of Doctor Strange, when Robbie's like, it's okay, I've got my own way, I've learned a few tricks, and he does that circle thing, where have we seen that before?
Stargate.
I was going to say Doctor Strange.
I know you were. That's what I was trying to make up.
If we were going to do Stargate, it would be that portal that they made, like the Stargate to Hell.
Well, it was the Stargate to Maveth.
Well, no, the Stargate to Maveth was another one. The one that they were going to use to send him back to the Darkhold place was the Stargate to Hell. We've got, like, three different Stargates on the show now.
Well, that's fine, because there's three different Stargates on Earth when they start.
That's true.
You got the one in Russia, you got one in Antarctica, and you got the one in Egypt that's moved to... Oh, by the way, spoilers, sorry. That's moved to Colorado, so just saying.
I don't think that's a spoiler. I think that's, like, the whole show.
Yeah, well, the show's over, and it has been for a while, so...
But they do it in the first episode, so it's, like, not really a spoiler. Well, second episode, I guess, two-parter.
All three? No, that takes years.
No, but the first, the one from Egypt that they moved to Colorado.
That happened in the movie.
I was saying spoiler for all three.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about that one, and I'm like, dude, that's it. That's the show.
Right, yes, but there's two other Stargates on Earth that they on Earth and...
Well, no, one of them was on Earth in Antarctica.
Yes.
And then the other one came from one of the ships that crashed into Earth. And then they pulled that one out of the ocean. That's the one the Russians got.
Oh, yeah. It's been so long since I've watched that show.
Rewatch. Gonna Geek Podcast. Stargate. All right, so Ghost Rider was amazing. The CGI was amazing. I will be very... happy if they make a Ghost Rider Netflix show. It would be outside of the Street Fighters, but it would be amazing, wouldn't it?
It totally would be. I will just be happy if he just shows up again every now and then on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, just have him show up every now and then, be like, yo, I got some hell business to attend to.
Like, as often as Deathlok has?
Bring Deathlok back, guys.
Oh, by the way, We lost Powers Booth this week as well.
Yeah, who Gideon Malik, you know, got his start as a random unnamed world council member in Avengers. And then his role carried through to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's had just an amazing career. And yeah, he died of natural causes this past weekend. And the episode ended with, you know, in memory of our friend. Just, yeah, very sad. But he had a great career. Malik was a good character. And, well, a good evil character.
Yes. I saw a great picture on Twitter between Brett Dalton and Powers Booth. They were legitimately having fun behind the scenes on the set as they were filming. And that's kind of how I want to remember him, because he was just amazing in that. And this is the last thing I remember seeing him in, although I know he's been in a ton of stuff. And he and Brett Dalton had such an amazing repertoire between the two. It was just the amazing end to an amazing career.
Yeah. And also, speaking of old lost friends, today is Bill Paxton's birthday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, the feels.
So many feels today.
Not to bring this to the same level, but we got to talk about Agent Burroughs getting a second end on the show.
Oh, man, he just vanishes in the buzz. That was him, right?
That was Agent Burroughs. He was the last S.H.I.E.L.D. agent in there. Yep.
Poor dude. So, once again, they save the world from Ada, and at the very end, when they all go out to eat, first of all, was anyone else hoping that Coulson would take them for shawarma?
Yes.
Headcanon accepted. That's what they were eating.
And the other thing, once, you know, they're sitting there and they're all frozen, that shot looked so much like The Last Supper. I loved it. You know, everybody posed, it's all in a line.
It's ABC's move this week. For anyone that hasn't seen the end of Once Upon a Time.
I haven't. I stopped watching that show in like season two.
You haven't missed much.
That's what I've heard.
Well, if it was the Last Supper portrait, my mind goes to BSG, so.
Again, it's an extremely powerful image. It's no wonder people like doing homages to it. And the other thing that we need to talk about is the episode shawarma. Coulson waking up in jail.
Is it jail? Is it?
Work camp?
Something in space. Now, who here immediately thought of S.W.O.R.D.?
Me.
My hands in the air.
Yes. So, there, S.W.O.R.D., S-W-O-R-D, it's all abbreviated like S.H.I.E.L.D., is an organization in the comics. It was introduced by Joss Whedon, actually. And they have a space base called The Peak. And I've been kind of hoping for a while that maybe we'd get a reference to them. And if next season we get Abigail Brand somewhere in this, or even just a hint, like random unnamed green-haired person wearing sunglasses, I will be so happy.
Yes. Yes, yes. 1,000 times yes.
I had the opportunity recently to be introduced to Abigail Brand in the comics, of course, with...
Isn't she amazing?
Yeah. With the all-new, all-different Captain Marvel run that ended, of course, but Abigail Brand was amazing, and of course there was tension, but everybody eventually got together in the end. AIM was involved. I can't wait. If this is really where they're going, I am all in. I'm like, everything on black, I'm betting it, and we're just going to see where it goes, because it's just going to be amazing. I have a tendency to think that they're trying to do a tie-in, because we were talking last week, I believe, with Kevin Feige about wanting to tie this into the rest of the universe. Well, we're going to the Infinity War right now, and so that means space, and S.H.I.E.L.D. goes to space with S.W.O.R.D., so I think there's that. And then here's the other thing that probably has a couple of meanings and might be tied into this, might not, we're just speculating, that Agent Piper at the beginning did a halo, high altitude, low opening jump out of the bus, and that Coulson set her off to do something. Now, this could mean a couple of things, that Coulson was actually planning this on their out at the end, so Coulson had this all planned from the beginning, or it could just mean that she was busy filming the Supergirl season finale and was not available to film this.
Yeah, which is funny, because on Monday I was watching Supergirl, and, you know, my husband and my best friend, we were watching it and we were like, oh, it would have been nice to see Vasquez, who is the same actress who plays Agent Piper here. And we're like, maybe she was busy filming Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Never know. Because she was pretty prevalent last week. So yeah, they could have filmed that all at the same time. Oh, we just can't get the actor because she's doing this. Oh, well, it's nice to be wanted. But at the same time, it's nice to actually show up on both shows, too. So, I don't know. We'll see where this all goes and whether we'll ever see her again. Talking about people that we might not see again, Talbot was shot in the head.
But he's alive.
So is the mustache.
The stash was not harmed, so it will go on to avenge him.
Yes. And we found out what happened to at least one of the robo-daisies.
I think there were two, weren't there?
There was one. The other one was real Daisy, who was the distraction for Robbie toasting the toaster Daisy.
So there was a whole room of robo-daisies, right?
Right, but then they dropped a building on them.
Yes.
But then they could have survived because they're robo-daisy.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
Pretty much everything, if you smash it all the way, is dead. It's true of most things, except for roaches.
Yeah. Horrible, horrible thing.
Did we talk about Daisy and Robbie fighting together? Because I just want to talk about that again in case we did already. I definitely need to talk about Robbie and Daisy fighting together. That was awesome.
That was so cool. And then, of course, Coulson comes in. He's just staring at them. And he's like, I missed it. You teamed up, but I missed it.
Maybe he'll get it in the future. Whatever his deal is. We'll see. Daisy makes a route director, Johnson, may we dare call her, makes an excellent speech at the end to Fitz, who has just been distraught. He's gone through with this plan on behest of Coulson to get together with Simmons and just, you know, pull it together and get it done. And they do.
Speaking of which, I did not realize that was a robo Simmons. And so when we thought that she'd been stabbed, I was screaming. I was just horrified. I was like, it can't end this way. It can't end this way.
I knew from the time it went into her chest, I was like, that's not her.
And I figured, you know, the whole, this is all your fault, Fitz. I was like, something is up, but I'm just so emotionally distraught right now that I can't think logically right now. Just anyway, yeah, Fitz's plan just, oh, that gutted me. Anyway, yes, SP, sorry.
Just getting back to that really quick, on my rewatch with Ada stabbing Simmons, and then she electrocutes Simmons, and I was wondering, wouldn't she be able to tell that Simmons was a robot when she was electrocuting her at the end?
Nah.
Okay, that was the only thing that I had going on with that. Anyway, Daisy gives this rousing speech to bring everybody back together at the end, and then Coulson says, let's go out to eat. I'm hungry. Are you hungry? Let's go out to eat. So that was pretty cool. That was some shawarma.
Her speech to Fitz, which was like that whole, remember at the end of last season when she went all goth and ditched everyone? Well, this is her way of saying, don't be me. Don't go all goth and ditch everyone. We're here for you. We're your family. We all get it. And oh, it was so good. And thank you for that bit of character development.
The real message there was don't dye your hair because it kills the roots and then your hair starts falling out. Right, Haley?
I've never dyed my hair. I wouldn't know.
I have dyed my hair. And if you actually have it done right so that it doesn't come out looking like a clown mess, it can be done okay. Like, remember when my hair was bright red? I'm going to do that again at some point. I'm just very lazy right now.
And you figured you would. And you've also been purple before too, right?
No. It was blue for a while, like the front was blue for a while.
Oh, that's what I was remembering. So overall, what do you think about Coulson's plan to win? I mean, it was very well done, very shield and just planned, and you had some feints going on and you were leading the villains to the point where you ultimately were able to do it. And oh, before we get to Coulson, then Simmons unloading an entire clip into Ada makes you feel good.
She's like, I have some anger to work out.
Like, I know this isn't going to do anything, but I'm going to do it anyways.
It must have been still part of Coulson's plan because he was right there watching her do it. So
he's like, I understand. I too have anger to work out.
So in the grand scheme of things, is this good finale? Did it work out well? Is it one of the best? Is your favorite episode? Top five? What are we talking about, ladies?
It was a good finale. I don't know where it falls in my favorite episodes, but I'm probably going to be rewatching all of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pretty soon. I have a friend that I was talking to about it. She's like, you know, I haven't watched it since season one. And I'm like, I'll rewatch it with you. So, but yeah, I think it's a really good season finale.
Yes, I would second that. Again, I also could not rank it among the season finales, but it was very good.
Sounds good. Anything about the episode that either of you want to touch on that we haven't touched on before? Lauren?
The Russian dies like so many times, which happens when you're like a robot with five or six copies of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Ivanov, he never gets a break.
No.
Keeps on getting schwacked.
We've talked about everything I have in my notes. I just have quotes left.
All right, Haley, quotes. Floor is yours.
We're going to need another bottle to discuss what happened with that bottle.
Yeah.
The short answer is they were murdered by a vanishing banshee made of a matter from another dimension.
Yeah, I love that.
You expect me to tell them that and believe it?
I have a cybernetic hand. I've been to another planet. This stuff happens in S.H.I.E.L.D.
You don't get it, Coulson. They're not going to be any S.H.I.E.L.D. if we don't get this done. Yeah, that was great.
I love that quote. It's like, well, he's not wrong.
Talbot, for all of his fallacies and all of his faults and everything, he pulled off these last couple of episodes really well. Hats off to the maybe brain dead Talbot by now. I don't know.
Seriously, therapy. Just consider it.
Again, bottle of Merlot, Netflix, you know, order out for pizza. I'm just saying.
I know. I just really wanted to do that.
Simmons, right? Yeah, that was good. That was good. That was really good, actually.
The only person I care about is here, too.
Oh, Yo-Yo.
Yep.
I just love her so much.
The one thing I don't need time to understand is that we're all in this together.
Yep.
This is how the world ends, not with a bang.
Boop. Yeah.
That might have been the end, the true end for the series, if it went that way. They could have cut it that way. I could have seen that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Except it doesn't really, like, it's a good end for him, but it doesn't really wrap up, like, our characters that we care about.
Well, I think that they would have been taken care of right before then. I don't know. There's so many. I was thinking about this. There's still, and we've talked about it over and over, there's so many things that haven't plot holes and stuff that's just out there that it'd be nice to wrap some of them up before the series ends. We have 22 episodes, starts in January, so we'll see how that goes. Did you get the Elrond horse crap quote?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was interesting coming from Talbot, by the way. Any more quotes, Haley?
Nope, that's it.
All right. Amazing episode. I enjoyed it. I literally just sat down and just watched it for the fun of it. I made that conscious decision thinking that it was going to be good no matter what, because they might have thought this was going to be the end of the series. It wasn't. I'm thinking the next 22 episodes are a gift at this point, and I'm just going to enjoy the ride starting in January. That's good.
Well, not necessarily in January. After Inhumans is all we know for sure.
Well, most of the shows, Arrow, Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they only do 8 or 9 episodes in the fall anyway, so I think that's all we're going to get from Inhumans, and then we're going to start in January.
But there's some speculation that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. were kind of bumping into the news. Do you want to do that first?
Well, you know what? Hang on for the news, folks, and we'll have this discussion there. Next week, we will discuss Luke Cage, D-W-Y-C-K. Really looking forward to getting back to that, putting a bow on it so I can get to Iron Fist, so we can get to other things like Legion and Inhumans in the fall. So we've got a packed summer. We're going to be doing double shows sometimes. We're going to be talking about the movies coming out. We got Spider-Man coming out. And lots of other great things. So stay tuned this summer for some great things from the ladies and for me, the monkey flipping the switch. We also have a lot of great things on our network. We're part of a network, by the way, the GunnaGeek.com network. And just recently, we added a new podcast. Yeah, you're going to be seeing some of these announcements come in. And we added a podcast called the Operation Pug Podcast. It's P-U-G. And the Pugcast is from the creators of Operation Pug web cartoon. The podcast talks about video games, tech news, pop culture, and all things nerdy, as well as behind the scenes features on the Operation Pug web cartoon. Again, you can catch this at GoodyGeek.com, and they have already posted their first episode.
Woo!
So in the meantime, let's get on to talk to some Comic Palooza.
Okay, so Comic Palooza was this past weekend, and it was a very Marvel-filled convention. I got to record I think, 3 out of the 4 Marvel Q&As that I went to. There was a bit of a misunderstanding with the Defenders panel, which turned into the Heroes for Hire panel because Charlie Cox had to cancel, which was sad. But Mike Coulter, Luke Cage, and Finn Jones, Iron Fist, were there. Mayor Turner of Houston introduced them. It was fantastic. They are both really, really funny. Then there was the a Daredevil panel with Eldon Henson and Jeffrey Cantor, Foggy Nelson and Ellison. John Bernthal was supposed to have been there, but he lost his voice. So, but he was still there signing autographs and taking pictures with people, which was very nice of him. And again, that panel, Eldon Henson was just like this really chill guy. Like, everyone was like, oh, what's your favorite scenes? And he's like, the ones where I sit down. Do you ever want to do more action? No, I hate doing action. I just want to sit down. And Jeffrey Cantor had just some of the most amazing stories and advice and stuff like that. There was a Q&A with Pom Clemente, Mantis from Guardians of the Galaxy. Turns out this was her first convention ever. Ooh. So that was fantastic. She is absolutely gorgeous and really funny. And I got to ask her a question, which hopefully you will hear once I upload all the stuff and we can pull clips from it. And there was another Marvel panel, which I am blanking out on at the moment because I was kind of overwhelmed. I live tweeted everything that I could, which you can find on our Twitter account, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then, you know, back read a little. And then there was just cosplayers galore. There was one, actually, I think you might be able to find them on like IO9 Best of Comic Palooza cosplay. There was a Yondu Mary Poppins cosplayer. It was amazing. I almost ran into her while she was posing for a picture because I was trying to get to the Daredevil panel in a rush. Yeah, just so much fantastic cosplayers, so much merch. I ended up selling a bunch of stuff and buying a bunch of stuff and just had a fantastic time. Everyone from the podcast program was great, as always. The organizers just, you know, they did their best and they put on a great show. My table mate that I was working with, Prismatic Pearls, again, she did just a fantastic job this year. And it was a blast. Again, if you ever get a chance to go to any con, but Comic Palooza, if you're in Texas, seriously, check it out.
It is one of the better podcast-friendly cons out there, but it's just a good con in general. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Indiana Comic Con, but a little bit bigger. So I look forward to attending that one day with Lauren when I'm not so afraid of the heat.
I mean, it's indoors and it's air conditioned, so you don't even have to go outside if you don't want to.
Yeah, that is generally my state in Texas, unless it's like really in the winter, then I'm fine going outside.
Yeah, there's a reason we invented air conditioning.
I think a few years ago, like maybe 5-6 years ago, maybe more, I can't remember time, Chris Yost, who was at the time just releasing Scarlet Spider, which took place in Houston, came down and he was like, the last time I came here, it was in January, and it is so different now because it was in like May, June. So later on in the comics, Kane, who was the Scarlet Spider, ended up getting heat stroke because it is a terrible idea to run around Houston in full body spandex.
Or leather.
Yeah, which again, the people that I know who cosplay, it's like, seriously, good on you. There was somebody who was wandering around in one of those giant inflatable Pikachu costumes. It's like, wow, how are you not dying? Just everybody. I was doing really lazy cosplaying, and it was still just like long sleeve shirt rolled up, and it's like, wow, it's warm in here.
So I think we need to get everybody in Texas to move to Minnesota and everybody from Minnesota to move to Texas. And I think they would be able to handle each other's climates.
No, I could maybe handle your summers. I could not handle your winters. I start complaining when it drops below about 60. So,
yeah, so that's like August.
Ugh.
Maybe not quite, but it gets close.
Well, that's horrifying.
All right. Haley, any questions about Comic Palooza?
Nope.
Paying attention, I see. Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't just Marvel. There was a bunch of other guests. It was Chuck Norris's first convention in, like, years.
Oh, that's right.
two of the original Power Rangers were there, Amy Jo Johnson and Jason David Frank. Felicia Day was there and I didn't get to meet her and I was so upset. Yeah, just a bunch of Walking Dead people were there. It was there a couple of wrestlers. I mean, there's roller derby stuff. There's bands playing. There's just so much stuff going on at Comicpalooza. It's one of my favorite cons to go to. It's huge and it's awesome. There's always something going on.
Okay, Haley, 2018 road trip, Houston.
Seriously, do it. We could. So there's all of the podcast programs get like a slot to do a live show. And for the past 2 years, I just never do it because it's just me.
You don't want to do a solo show?
I mean, what am I going to say? Like, here I am talking from Comicpalooza. But.
Sure, why not? I've done solo shows before. It's good.
I feel weird doing solo shows. I do better with a group.
Everybody feels weird doing so. Hey, coming from a podcast with multiple co-hosts, doing a solo show is a little bit of a stretch, but you get used to it.
Yeah, I do so much better in a group.
I would have a script and I would read it if I did a solo show.
All right, and here I am talking about the histories of murders in Houston.
Yeah, sometimes it's just not all that great. Now, it wasn't during a podcast. I was just entertaining a live audience, audio only, by the way, at the time when Gonna Geek went down for about 15 minutes and I had to talk for 15 minutes.
See, I can do that. But trying to do a whole thing on topic and talking to myself with nobody listening, that's different.
You do it all the time with your audiobooks.
No, that's me reading a thing.
It's the same thing.
No, it's not. That's a script.
Just get yourself some bullet points and go. You've done speeches in classes, haven't you?
I mean, yeah, but not for years.
All right. Well, Haley, road trip next year. We'll get her done. Is that it for Comicpalooza? Because we got a lot of news to go through.
Yes, until I upload the things and we can find clips to use and such like.
All right. Sounds great. We'll look forward to that in the future. In the meantime, we've got some news to talk about.
Well, the big news of the week, it happened, everybody. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was renewed for a fifth season.
Yay!
But it's not coming back right away in the fall.
Aww.
Ooh.
So, here's how next year is going to work. Inhumans is premiering sometime in September. It'll be in theaters, I think, September 1st. And then a few weeks later, it'll air on ABC. It's going to air on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. And then once Inhumans is done, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will start. And it will run for 22 episodes. We don't know when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to start, if it's going to be immediately after Inhumans ends, or if it's going to be in January. They haven't said yet what they're going to do with that. So there's speculation that they might, like, if they do pods like they did this year, they might do like a small pod before the Christmas break and then start back up in the spring like they usually do. Or they might just start sometime in January and run 22 episodes straight through and have to double up on a couple of nights.
Yeah, so we were doing some on the podcast math before we started. And if they start on January 5th and roll all the way through at the 22 episode mark, it is actually May 26th, which is the beginning of Memorial Day weekend. And we just don't think that's going to be tenable. So they're going to at least double up either on the premiere or on the finale, to put it the week before, which is, I'm looking at the 2017 schedule. Sorry, guys. May 2018 would be the 25th of May 2018. So you back that up a week. That's the 18th. Friday, the 18th of May, 2018. So then you'd have to double up. But you got spring break in there and stuff. And we've seen that S.H.I.E.L.D. has done double episodes before. So they could do a double episode premiere as well in January to back that up even one more. We're going to have like a week for spring break in there somewhere. Like maybe the Easter weekend would be something that they'd have to take off. So you have some options here. I do like the starting in January option because all the superhero shows that we cover on Gonna Geek usually have between 8 and 9 episodes in the fall anyway, which would be what Inhumans would have. And then you could start again in January. When Agent Carter came on as a mid-season replacement show, it started the first week in January, didn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I could see them doing the same thing here.
I could also see them doing, you know, 6 or 7 episodes in the fall, because Inhumans is only doing 8 episodes. I'm assuming they're going to do a 2-hour premiere since they're showing those 2 hours together in theaters. So it's going to end probably either late October or early November. So there's still plenty of time in there to get some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in.
They take weeks off in the fall, too. So I see it running all the way until a couple weeks before December and then taking a 2-3 week break off on the schedule before they run into...
If they're only doing 8 episodes, they're not going to take a break.
Well, they would have to over the holidays, because the ratings wouldn't be there.
No. I'm talking about Inhumans. Inhumans isn't going to take a break.
But they'll take breaks along the way, like for Thanksgiving weekend and stuff like that. It's not going to be straight through.
Yeah.
If you take a look at the Arrow schedule, for instance, I know the mid-season finales have been episode 8 since season 1.
Okay.
They have that to play with. And we'll just say, and they probably take a week off when Thor Ragnarok comes out in November as well.
Maybe.
So they've got that. And Star Wars later on in December. So they'll put some padding in there, because the same people that are going to go to their movies will not be available Friday night to watch the show. And they know that.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be that. I'm just excited to have the show back. I'm looking at it as a gift that we have another season at this point in time. I know way back when we were listening to a podcast on Battlestar Galactica, they said the same thing about season 4.5. I know there was some consternation on whether or not that season should have been there or not. I enjoyed having more Battlestar Galactica at that point in time. I'm going to enjoy seeing more of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now, especially since they're at least going to start in space. I mean, because that's my weak spot. I've seen 2 trailers for 2 space shows tonight, too, with the Orville and Star Trek Discovery, and I'm all in on the space stuff. I'm glad Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing it. This is going to be great.
Yep. Well, next up, we've got some Guardians of the Galaxy 2 news.
Woo!
Nathan Fillion had a meta cameo that was cut from Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Really?
Yeah. Do you remember when... Actually, maybe you don't remember, because I think it was a long time ago we mentioned it.
In the first one?
No, in this one, he was supposed to be playing the character that eventually ends up becoming Wonder Man, who is an actor.
Oh.
Simon. Oh, crap. I forget his last name now.
Simon Williams?
Thank you.
No, I didn't remember that, but it's... Did they shoot it? Is it going to be on the extras on the Blu-ray?
I think so, because I think it was cut for time.
Well, apparently he was supposed to be playing Simon Williams as an actor who was doing a biopic of Tony Stark.
Hmm.
Yeah, IO9 has the poster, and it looks very... You remember the Steve Jobs movie that came out a few years ago?
Yep.
You know, which one, but...
The one that came out, the one that didn't come out.
This one looks more like, I guess, the Ashton Kutcher one.
Okay.
But the poster looks very much like that.
Okay.
And he's supposed to be playing Tony Stark. Simon Williams playing Tony Stark.
It'd be good to see it as a deleted scene. I can't believe they wouldn't put it in there. We need to see more Nathan Fillion in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Marvel Universe in general. Could he even be flying the Serenity? I don't care.
Well, next up, we've got a story from Yahoo about why Drax is resonating with the autistic community.
Which I know we talked about the last time a Guardians of the Galaxy movie came out. But again, it makes me happy that this kind of thing is being discussed. Like when people see representations of themselves or characters that represent themselves similarly, like Drax's very literal, you know, stuff, which a lot of the autistic community is really latching onto. Oh, this reminds me of me. Or when I went to the Palm Clementif Q&A, a lot of really socially awkward people, you know, got the courage to come up and thank her for portraying Mantis the way she did. It's just nice to see yourself on screen.
Yep. Well, one man was not happy when he went to the movie theater.
Yeah. So this was in Austin at one of the Alamo Draft Houses there. And this guy sues his date for the cost of the ticket for texting during Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Now, at first glance, this is kind of a funny story. And then you actually read it and find out that he started harassing her and her family, and that the reason that she left during the date was that that he was creeping her out and making her really uncomfortable. And so, yeah, this is honestly, as much as I hate people texting in theaters, I'm honestly kind of siding with her on this one. This guy's creepy. Like, if you read a bunch of other stuff that he's written online, he's really creepy.
Yeah, don't be a creep when you're dating or in the movie theater. Just don't do that. And if you have to try to get some assistance by texting during a movie, go ahead and do it, because creeps shouldn't be allowed to be creeps. But at the same time, if you're not being bothered by a creep, don't text during a movie.
Yes. And that just reminded me, the other Q&A that I recorded was Anthony Mackie, who offered the excellent life advice, don't be rude.
Or follow Wheaton's Law, don't be a dick. Just as an update to this story, Alamo Drafthouse CEO Tim League has offered a $17.31 gift certificate to settle the lawsuit.
Sure, why not? Way to go, Alamo Drafthouse.
We might have talked about this last week, but in X-Men news, there is now a full trailer for Gifted. So is this a new trailer or is it the one we saw last week?
This is a new one. Last week was the teaser.
Okay.
This one's the full 2.5 minute. Looks really cool. So if you haven't seen it yet, check it out.
All right. More X-Men news. Kevin Feige would love the Avengers to meet the X-Men. Who wouldn't? But there are no plans for that right now.
He's throwing out all sorts of connection stuff that's not possibly going to happen.
Yeah, just stop playing with our hearts, Kevin Feige. Just make stuff happen. Make stuff happen and stop teasing us.
He's trolling at this point. He's like, yeah, wouldn't it be cool if this happened? I mean, it's not gonna, but wouldn't that be cool? And the last bit of X-Men news, I have no idea what this title means, but apparently the X-Men didn't torture the head of the Heritage Think Tank, so that's good, I guess.
Okay, so the Heritage Think Tank is a political think tank that creates policies and stuff for conservative and libertarian circles. They're very influential. And the latest villain in X-Men is a somewhat conservative-leaning woman, Lydia Nance, Heritage Initiative Channel. So Glenn Beck and some other people are like, this is a stab at the Heritage Think Tank and they're torturing her. And no, Marvel's assuring us that the X-Men did not just torture the head of Heritage Think Tank. This is a completely different thing. And once again, Glenn Beck is freaking out over nothing. And again, if you find yourself sympathizing with the bad guy in a comic, it might be time to reevaluate your life, I say, as my favorite character is Magneto.
I was just going to say, you ladies are all about the villains.
Magneto is an anti-hero.
All right, I can go with that. I didn't think much of Magneto until Sean told me all about his backstory and stuff. Yeah,
okay. Did you not see the first movie?
Did you not see the cartoon?
No, I didn't see the cartoon, but this was before the movie, yeah. All right. Lots of great stuff in the news. Thank you, everybody, that has dropped the news to us in our feedback forums, either on the Facebook page, emailing us on Twitter, and all the great other stuff. But that's it for the news this week. We are moving on to some feedback.
Okay, so feedback from Twitter. We have Andy Minga, who said there were rumors way back that Maisie Williams would get a role in the X-Men universe, and this is something that we forgot to mention in the news. Maisie Williams and Anna Taylor-Joy were cast in a New Mutants movie. So Maisie Williams, Arya Stark from Game of Thrones, is going to be playing Wolfsbane, which is another wolf-related thing. And Anya Taylor-Joy, who anybody who's seen The Witch, which is one of my favorite horror movies of last year, has been cast as Magic, Ileana Rasputin. So that's pretty awesome. Thank you for that, Andy. Let's see what else. Ooh, at Born to Eat Bacon. Remember last week when we were saying, you know, what would Donald Glover be in the Marvel Universe? At Born to Eat Bacon suggested, how about Donald Glover as Blade? I can get behind that.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's awfully happy to play Blade.
It could be a different take on Blade.
Okay.
At Adonna Girl tweeted us the picture of Yondu Mary Poppins at Comic Palooza, which I think the picture that you sent me I think this is what the picture that they might have been taking when I was trying to run and almost ran into her.
You could have photobombed it.
I could have, but I was trying to be polite. So if you see the picture and you're staring at it head on, I'm like slightly to the left and passing. I mean, I'm not in the picture, but I'd just run past it. Let's see. At Kazekun Forever told us, S.H.I.E.L.D. will not be airing alongside Inhumans. We'll return after Inhumans conclude, like we discussed. But thank you, because, yes, this is a thing that we know now. A lot of talk during the live tweet, which, again, between Adana Girl, Consultant Black Adam, Andy Minga, just thank you so, so much for that. And, yeah, Andy Minga sent us, I opened that review of the finale after my tweet, and it's an IGN review that talked about the couch scene that got to him. So yes, thank you to everyone. There were so many tweets, and I'm sorry I couldn't get to them all.
Yeah, it becomes overwhelming, by the way, during live tweeting. So I think you do a great job, and Lauren. And what the listener doesn't know is if they were participating in the live tweet, there was a small chance that they would have been talking to me and not you during that live tweet. So thank you very much for being able to make that, Lauren. The fans really enjoyed hearing from you rather than me during the live tweet.
Oh, and one more real quick from Andy Minga. He retweeted us a picture from Amy Ratcliffe of Michael Rooker winning at everything and posing with the Mary Poppins at Disney World.
Yeah, the children, Rooker, the children. All right, we're going to jump rope this one out. Next time, as I stated before, we will be discussing Luke Cage, Season 1, Episode 9, D-W-Y-C-K. I haven't seen the episode yet, so I have no idea what that means. I'm really looking forward to figuring that out. In the meantime, if you want to join our live streams, for now, we'll be Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific at www.geeks.live.
And again, thank you to everybody who's gotten a hold of us on Twitter, especially right now, sent us news, talked during the live tweets. The live tweets have been one of my favorite things of watching the show and everything like that. And it's just been so fun. And I will be live tweeting again on Monday with Luke Cage. So, yes, we'll see.
If you're looking for Lauren outside of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., there's a location that you can go to get all of Lauren's great things that we have not ever said on this podcast because she's never told me to say anything about it. So we're going to talk about it right now, Lauren.
Yeah, so I do a lot of stuff outside of podcasting, and you can find links to all of it at lawofalltrades.wordpress.com. That's lawofalltrades.wordpress.com. So if you ever had any interest in my writing or voice acting or crafting or anything like that, it's all there.
And you can hear Lauren scream on there as well.
Yeah, it's in my demo reel.
Well, I would like to say thank you to the executives at ABC who renewed Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and did so in a way that works well with our schedule going into the fall. Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
We got something. Yeah, they didn't double up. Inhumans and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wouldn't have been hard for us to cover in the fall. That's for sure. So thank you very much, executives ABC. And I just want to say thank you to my two lovely lady co-hosts, Lauren and Haley, who have not overthrown any government that I know of yet. But Marvel, they are available for your employment opportunities.
Indeed, we are.
Yep.
So until next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
We'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much for a great season 4. And we're looking forward to at least one more good one. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback,
Go to GunnaGeek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit LegendsOfShield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at Incompetech.com, and also artists on Pond5.com and AudioJungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
My friend just found an ad for surfing lessons for dogs.
I don't know about surfing, but I know water skiing, or more appropriately, kneeboarding, is pretty prevalent in Minnesota.
It's not a cat. It's a one-eyed cat in Hawaii. Surfs.
Mm-hmm. I have seen that. I've seen videos of dogs surf. Just haven't. There's no waves worth surfing in Minnesota. And if there is, it's on Lake Superior, which is, I think the hottest it gets is 55 degrees. So no, you don't want to surf in that. Dogs might not mind. Well, that'd be interesting. Dogs could do it.
Saturday's my TV catch-up day.
I never get caught up with TV anymore. Ever.
I'm almost caught up with Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm very proud.
Started getting on the treadmill right when I wake up in the morning just to watch some TV and get some additional exercise in. That's actually a second or third exercise time for me during the day.
Stop it. Sorry. Somebody's a little starved for attention.
Your cats. Your agents. Is that Felicity?
Yep.
I remember.
It's like I pet her for a little while and then I stop and she like reaches up and starts batting at my arm.
Mm-hmm. Is you weren't home all day. Play with me now and feed me.
Mm-hmm.
I got Tonks and Fatty behind me. Okay,
Huh?
Does anyone else hear chirping?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yeah, that's a cat toy.
I knew what it was. I just didn't know whose office it was coming from.
Well, my cats are lazy and just sleep. So.
Tonks and Fatty?
Yes. Well, she's not scratching my elbow anymore. But I can move that to the other room. Hold on. So I took the toy away, so now she found a charging cable to play with.
So, by the way, I don't know if I sound weird or something. I bit the out of my tongue earlier today. Like,
why did you have it on your tongue?
I was eating fries, and I guess I wasn't paying attention or something, and I bit my tongue so hard there was a crunch.
Ooh.
And
ooh.
I thought I might have bitten the tip of my tongue off.
Does it sting?
Yeah, it does. Ooh. Like, hold on, let me put up so you can see.
Yeah, there's kind of a mark.
Yeah, like, I was like, oh my god, did I bite off the tip of my tongue? So I put my hand to there, and it came away just, like, covered in blood, and I was like, oh no. Like, I soaked a napkin in blood. It was awful. It was so bad. But I didn't actually sever the tip of my tongue, which is good, because a friend of mine's brother did that, and had to get it sewed back on, and it was awful.
Okay, Haley, I need a ruling here. Is biting your tongue off worse than getting poked in the eye with a needle?
It wasn't a needle. It was a Christmas tree.
Haley? I don't know. I don't want either.
I don't want either. It's gross. Lauren, you gotta stop hurting yourself.
I mean, it wasn't intentional. I was just trying to eat French fries.
Well, that's your problem right there.
I was trying to eat French fries and listen to a podcast, and then all of a sudden there was blood everywhere. It was not fun.
See, that's your problem right there.
Oh my God, so much blood.
You need to not, you're getting older. You need to stop eating the French fries.
No, I'm going to eat French fries till the day I die.
Well, then you can't eat anything else for 3 days.
Well, I mean, at that point, you're dead, so it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. I think what he's saying is that I'll be back in 3 days so I can eat more French fries.
No, I mean, it's so much grease and calories that's what I'm talking about. You got to back off on that stuff.
I think at this point I've just accepted that I will be fat and die young, but happy. Mike Coulter is incredibly good looking in person.
Did you get to touch his chest?
I did not.
Why not?
I didn't get close enough and he was busy.
You could have just said, it's Lorne from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. I want to touch your chest. And he would have said, oh, Lorne, come here.
I know how often you trip. You could have done it near him and just, oh, whoops.
Looks sorry. Like you have to help me up now.
Well, I was thinking trip into his chest, but yeah, you could do that too.
I could do both.
You said trip and I thought you meant trip.
Nope. It's trip. Different word.
Did you guys see the preview for the Orville, by the way?
No.
Yeah, Mockingbird is in it.
Hey.
Yeah, and she's the executive officer. It's a cross between Other Space and Galaxy Quest.
Oh, it's is that that Seth MacFarlane show? Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, on the one hand, Seth MacFarlane, so I don't really care. But on the other hand, if it has Adrian Palicki.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that until I watched it. I was like, ooh, okay, I'm in. Just talking about maybe other Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. actors that I would like to see shirtless.
Yeah, I can't really argue with that.
Great show, ladies. Great season four. It's been a fun 3+ years with you.
It really has.
Looking forward to another one.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.